20. Between them, they got Vern to his feet. He mumbled something they did not understand. They half-carried, half-dragged him down the hall to the stairs, down the stairs onto the porch. The night was cold and dark. Stars shone, scattered above them in the sky.
I'm sorry, Carl said, pausing to get back his breath. I know I shouldn't have done it. I don't do things like that. I don't know what happened to me, but he shouldn't have said those things.
He'll be all right.
In a way, he had it coming to him. He was very insulting. Don't you think so? I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't been on edge.
Let's go.
With Vern between them, they made their way along the path. The air was thin and sharp. Carl took a deep breath, filling his lungs.
It's nice, the night air. I like it when it's this way, clean and cold. I hope you'll be all right. I hope I didn't break anything. Do you think you'll be all right?
Barbara did not answer. Between them, Vern had begun to stir a little. He grunted, trying to pull back. Carl held on tight to him.
Don't let him fall, Barbara said.
Maybe we'll find his pipe. He probably lost it along the way someplace, don't you think?
I don't know.
They reached the men's dormitory without finding Vern's pipe. Vern had passed out again. Carl carried him up the stairs to the second floor, Barbara following behind. By the time he had put him down on his bed, Carl was gasping and panting.
Gosh!
Carl stepped back from the bed.
What a job! I'm glad that's over.
Vern lay sprawled out on the bed, his mouth open, his body limp and loose. They could hear him breathing.
What should we do? Carl asked. Will he sleep for a while? Should we do anything else?
Cover him with a blanket.
Carl got the top blanket over Vern. He pushed a pillow under Vern's head.
How will that be? There's not any chance of him smothering, is there?
No.
Barbara wandered around the room. The room smelled of John Jameson. She bent over the wastebasket, reaching down into it.
What is it?
Barbara pulled out the John Jameson bottle. It was almost empty. There was a little in the bottom. She put the bottle on the dresser.
I can almost understand it now.
What do you mean?
That's good stuff.
Carl nodded. He was still looking at Vern lying on the bed, under the blanket.
It's certainly an unfortunate thing, isn't it? A person with such a keen mind as he has. We shouldn't treat it as a moral crime, the way they used to, though. It's more an illness.
I guess it is.
I understand they can do things for it these days. Psychoanalysis, health farms, or creative therapy of some sort. They're making great strides.
Barbara said nothing. The room was silent except for Vern's heavy breathing. Carl moved around uneasily. After a while, he removed Vern's tie and pulled his collar open. Vern stirred, snorting and grunting, like an animal. Carl stepped back from the bed.
It's too bad, he murmured. I wish we could do something, but I guess we can't.
No, you'll come too, sometime tomorrow. This has happened before. You'll recover.
It's certainly a shame.
Barbara moved to the door.
Coming?
Carl hesitated.
You left your manuscript. It's still back in the room.
That's right. I did forget it. I'll go back with you and pick it up.
Let's go then.
Barbara went out into the hall. Carl followed after her. Barbara's room was frigid. They had left the door open and the night air had come in. Barbara closed the door after them.
I have an electric heater. I'll plug it in.
She got the heater from the closet and attached it to the wall socket. In a few minutes, the elements were glowing warmly. Some of the chill left the room. Carl stood in front of the heater, rubbing his hands together.
That feels good. It's a cold night.
Barbara sat down, lighting a cigarette. She sat smoking, leaning back on the bed, watching Carl in front of the little heater.
Yes, it is cold.
I feel a lot better already. Isn't it strange how slight changes in the temperature affect your whole mood? I never feel right when I'm cold or damp. When I'm damp, or I have a headache, or indigestion, or some little pain, I never can think straight. My mind won't function right at all.
Barbara nodded.
It shows how you can't escape the physical. Just when you start thinking you have a soul, something comes along that disagrees with your stomach, and in a few minutes you find yourself faced with the fact that without your stomach you wouldn't be able to exist. We're as much a part of the physical as the mental. Sometimes I even think more so. If I had my choice, I'd retain my physical over my mental part. Isn't that strange? You're not supposed to feel that way. You're supposed to believe your soul is wonderful and your body is wicked, right?
Yes.
I guess that's because of centuries of Christian teaching. It was the early church people who advanced the concept of duality in the human being, the body of unworthy material and the pure spirit. They saw a man as broken up in two parts, two conflicting parts. The body dragged the soul down into sin. The soul was lucky when it managed to get away from the body.
Barbara said nothing.
It's an idea that's quite persuasive. It follows us around everywhere. Even the most advanced Westerners automatically accept the Christian duality, like Freud. He assumed the unconscious was evil because it was associated with body instincts and passions. That's following right along in the Christian spirit.
Carl waited for Barbara to say something. She was gazing past him, cigarette smoke drifting around her. The room was beginning to become comfortably warm. By his feet, the little electric heater glowed and simmered.
But actually, there's no reason why we should accept the Christian dichotomy. The concept of the innate depravity of man's natural instincts, his bodily needs, eating, sleeping, reproduction, all natural functions. Spinoza demonstrated that. He advanced the concept of man as a whole, a single entity of body and mind working as a unit together. Neither part bad. He pointed out that no one had ever seen a body without a mind, or a mind working without a body. We know them only together. So how could we talk about them as if they were distinct things? He had an interesting thought there. Don't you agree? Doesn't that sound like a realistic appraisal?
It sounds all right.
It's a monistic concept, supplanting the dualism of the Christians.
Carl babbled on, faster and faster, his words running together. He could not seem to stop. In a remote, detached way, he wondered about it. Why was he going on so? What was the matter with him? But on he went, in a frenzy of theory and interpretation. His mind raced wildly, embracing whole vast concepts at one fell swoop. The mysteries of the universe dissolved around him, showering their secrets in his lap. He was drowning in an ocean of perceptions. All the while Barbara said nothing. She sat smoking silently, staring ahead into the half-darkness of the room. At last Carl slowed down to a stop. He threw himself down in a chair, exhausted. All at once he was completely worn out. His mind was vacant, empty.
Is it true?
Barbara said.
They're here?
Carl stirred.
They?
The yucks?
Vern says one came. He talked to him today.
Barbara put her cigarette out and lit another. She leaned back again, against the wall, her arms folded, smoke drifting up.
What are you thinking about?
Carl asked.
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
About my life?
You sound so unhappy.
I took the wrong path. That goddamn Vern Tilden was responsible.
Oh?
I don't want to talk about it. You saw him tonight. You saw how he is. He wanted me to be that way.
He did?
Of course. He wanted me to live like that, with him. I was something to satisfy his physical needs, something he could pick up and use when he felt like it.
Barbara leaped to her feet and crossed the room to the heater. She yanked the plug out.
It's too damn hot in here.
Carl nodded.
What a stupid thing to look back on. It was years ago. Everything is so damn stupid.
She raised the shade and stared out the window at the night.
So they're here. Well, they can have everything. Why they want it, I don't know. A dirty, empty ruin. They're welcome to it.
She put her fingers against the glass.
It's cold outside.
Carl got to his feet.
Cold and late.
Barbara turned from the window.
Cold and late. You know, we have many things in common. You make me feel better. I feel better being with you.
Carl flushed with pleasure.
I'm glad.
Barbara paced back and forth.
I'll be quite ready to turn things over to them. They can take it all. Dirty, cold, barren old place. How do we leave here? Is there a car? How do we get away?
Ed Forrester left us a truck. Vern knows where it is. It's in one of the sheds someplace.
We'll leave together. When we get in India, we can take the same train, the two of us. We can go all the way back to the States together. The same train, the same boat. What do you say? Do you want to do that?
That would be fine.
Yes. Yes, it would be fine. It's a long way to go. It's a cruel world, Carl. A little warmth won't do it any harm.
Carl agreed. Barbara turned suddenly toward him.
You don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to go back with me.
I'd like to.
It'll be a long trip.
I really would like to.
All right. We'll go back together.
Carl was pleased.
We can talk. We'll be able to talk about things on the way.
Is that what it means to you?
Carl hesitated.
Why, I...
Just talking. Nothing more than that.
Carl twisted in embarrassment.
Of course it's more than that. Naturally, that goes without saying.
Neither of them spoke. The room was silent. With the heater unplugged, the room began to grow cold again. The night air was coming back, seeping through the cracks in the walls, under the window, under the door. Carl was cold and tired. He moved toward the door.
He felt numb.
So many things had happened so quickly.
I should be going back to my room. I'll see you at breakfast tomorrow.
I hate to go.
He lingered.
I hope he's still asleep. Maybe I'll move my bed to the far end of the dorm. It smells. It reeks.
I'll be here soon. You won't have to stand it much longer.
That's right. Any time now, I suppose.
He took hold of the doorknob.
Stay a while longer,
Barbara said. Carl hesitated. He wanted very much to go back to his room and throw himself into bed.
It's so late.
What are you going to do?
Go to bed?
Barbara nodded. Her face was expressionless. He waited a moment and then opened the door.
Good night.
Good night, Carl.
Carl smiled. She did not smile back. Was she mad at him? He was too exhausted to think about it.
Well, I guess I'll see you tomorrow.
He went slowly down the hall, his hands deep in his pockets. Cold night air blew around him. The hall was bleak and dim, deserted. He came to the top of the stairs and started down, holding on to the banister. Behind him there was a sound. He looked back. Barbara was standing in the corridor, at the door of her room, outlined in the light. She was watching him.
What is it?
He came back a little way.
You forgot your book.
Foolish embarrassment flooded over him.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
He hurried back along the hall toward her.
That's what I came over for.
Barbara stepped aside. Carl entered the room, looking around.
Where is it?
On the dresser.
Carl found the brown paper package lying where he had put it. He picked it up in his hands and stood holding it. The room was silent. Barbara came in from the hall and walked over to the window.
Thanks for reminding me, Carl said.
He sat down on the edge of the bed, his manuscript in his lap. He ran his fingers over the rough paper, smoothing it down with automatic care. After a while, he got to his feet again. He moved toward the door.
Well, I guess I...
Don't leave.
But
I don't want you to go.
Barbara did not look at him. Her voice was thin and hard, a sharp command. He sat down awkwardly, the bedspring sagging and groaning under him. Tiredness seeped over him.
Why did you want him to stay? What for?
He laid his manuscript down on the floor. He was too tired to understand. Perhaps later on, in the morning, when he had time to think it all over, when he could fit everything together into one picture. He leaned back, resting against the wall. He closed his eyes. Barbara stood at the window staring out, her arms folded. Carl yawned. Soon he would go, when it was all right to go. After a while. His body was like lead. He seemed to be sinking down into the bed, like lead that had been dropped in the ocean. Down and down. He sighed, stretching out. He must have dozed. All at once it was later. He opened his eyes. He was stiff and cold. His head ached. Barbara was no longer standing at the window. She was sitting on the bed by him, close by. She was doing something very rapidly and silently, bending over, her hands moving.
What was she doing?
He stirred, lifting up a little. She was taking off her sandals. She unfastened her sandals and put them over in the corner by the end of the bed. She stood up and unbuttoned her blouse. She slipped her blouse from her and hung it over the back of a chair. She unzipped her slacks. She stepped out of them and folded them into the seat of the chair. Carl must have made a sound. Suddenly she turned, looking intently down at him. Her face was full of hunger, full of avid desire. He was astonished. The astonishment gave way to shock. She was gazing down at him, twitching with naked yearning, her body taut and rigid. Was he dreaming?
What time is it?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock? Good Lord, I should go.
She said nothing. She stood in front of him in her underclothes, her body hard and pale. Some of the wild hunger had faded from her face. Her face was cold, sharp. It frightened him. Fear moved through him, gaining force.
I have to go.
He struggled to get to his feet.
Really?
Yes, it's late.
Barbara was silent. At last she spoke. Her voice was calm, detached, as if she were far away, remote from him, lost in thought.
You know,
she said,
you and I are the only ones here, for miles around. I've been thinking about it, except for Vern, of course, but he's asleep.
The room was very still. Outside the window, the night was cold. He could hear the night wind moving through the trees, stirring the branches together. There was no other sound, wind and silence, cold darkness. It was the truth. They were the only ones alive for endless miles. The brittle, frozen coldness was all around them.
Are you afraid?
Barbara said.
No, you shouldn't be. You see, it's only that I want you so, but I wonder how you feel.
He did not know how to answer.
You are afraid.
No.
Carl, do you want to go? You may if you want.
He shook his head.
Do you want to stay here?
He hesitated. I guess so. I think so.
His heart was pounding, pounding so loudly that he could hardly speak. He got to his feet and walked around the room, touching things, examining a print on the wall, the cover of a book. He took a book from the bookcase and opened it. Finally, he put the book back. His mouth and lips were dry. He moistened them with his tongue.
Could we talk for a while?
Barbara did not answer.
Couldn't we talk?
Carl, why do you want to leave?
I don't know.
It's cold and barren outside. Don't you want to stay here, where it's warm? Don't you want to be warm?
Sure. Yes, of course.
She was watching him intently. In her underclothes, she seemed even more naked than when he had seen her in the water, in the little artificial lake. There were goose pimples up and down her legs, on her thighs and arms.
Don't you want to be with me?
Yes, it's very nice here.
Barbara took her cigarettes from her blouse. She dropped the blouse back down on the chair and lit a match. Carl watched her smoking and staring past him. Abruptly, she stubbed the cigarette out against the ashtray on the table. She reached behind her, unhooking the bra. She laid the bra over her blouse on the chair.
Carl?
Yes?
Why won't you look at me?
I don't know.
Please look at me.
Carl looked. She had taken off all her clothes and was standing completely naked in the center of the room. Her body was pale. She was shivering in the cold. He could see her flesh ripple. Carl looked away again. Presently, there was a creaking sound.
Carl?
Yes?
Don't you want to come to me?
He turned. She was lying on the bed, her naked legs raised, her arms at her sides. She was waiting for him, staring up at the ceiling.
Hi.
He stood helplessly, twisting.
Don't you want me?
Yes, but I...
That time at the lake, when you saw me, you weren't afraid then, were you? You were glad. I know.
You didn't run away, I could tell.
Carl picked up his manuscript from the floor. He crossed toward the door.
I don't want to be foolish in front of you. There are so many things I don't know. Do we have to? Now? Can't we wait? Later?
She rose quickly from the bed, coming toward him.
But I want you now, Carl.
He could hear her breathing rapidly, harsh, quick sounds. She slipped between him and the door, her breasts rising and falling.
But I don't know what to do.
I'll show you.
Couldn't we wait?
She shook her head. In the darkness outside the window, the night wind rose, blowing through the trees. They could hear it moving, brushing the tree branches against the side of the building.
Hear the wind,
Barbara said.
Yes.
Barbara reached out to the lamp. She snapped it off. The room was in darkness. Carl felt his heart begin to beat hard, slow, booming beats, like an echoing thing far down in a vault. It was painful. He could hardly breathe. He was shaking all over from cold and fear. In the darkness, he could see nothing.
Where was she? Where had she gone?
Her hand touched his arm. Then she was around him, warm and breathing, her body like fire. It burned him, the insistent pressure, pushing and beating against him. She was tearing at him, straining and clawing. He staggered. She crowded him against the edge of the bed. He sat down heavily, the springs groaning under him. Now she was above him, filling the darkness, leaning over him. He slid away, struggling to his feet. He was weak with fear.
Barbara!
She was moving someplace in the darkness. He strained to hear. His arm touched something, the edge of the table. The ashtray fell to the floor, clinking. She came quickly, grabbing for him. She was completely silent. There was no sound, like a dream. Carl pulled away. Her nails left streaks of pain along his arms. Again he could hear her breathing, panting in the cold darkness. He sensed her very near, almost by him. He put up his hands. She caught hold of him, hard little arms tight around him. Panting, breathing, silently working, she unfastened his clothes, tugging them away from him. Her unceasing, relentless fingers ripped his shirt loose, buttons flying. He shoved her away, and was caught, swept up in a tide of flesh that engulfed him completely. He choked, gasping frantically for breath. Suddenly her teeth sank into his neck, biting into his muscles. He shoved, and she let go. Carl stepped back. He wavered, his arms out. He fell slowly, sprawling down, outstretched onto the bed. Before he could get up, she was on him, pressing him back. He was helpless. Her arms were like steel. For a moment, she hung in the darkness above him, holding him down. Carl braced himself, crying out in pain. Then, silently, soundlessly, she descended over him, flowing onto him, a crushing, inexorable weight. Her breath hissed in his face. Her knees dug into him. He lay back, gasping, a sightless, weak thing lost in the darkness. The darkness and the clinging weight shuddered against him, turning into warmth, glowing and smoldering around him. He was surrounded by warmth, a restless warmth that moved unceasingly, flowing back and forth, on and on. His eyes closed, his body relaxed. He ceased to struggle. The motion picked him up. He was carried away, swept into the warm tide that plucked and pulled at him, sweeping and lashing around him, scalding hot. Finally, he slept. Later, when much time had passed, time that was lost in the unknowable, the unthinkable, and the day was making itself ready to appear, Carl heard a sound. He opened his eyes, lifting up suddenly in the bed, alert. Beside him, the sleeping woman lay unmoving. She did not stir. Carl listened. Far off, the sound came again. It was like thunder, a firm, constant motion, a rumbling, steady and insistent. It made the building shake. It made everything in the room rattle and vibrate. Carl sat, listening intently, fully awake. Gray light was beginning to filter under the shades into the room. The sound was coming nearer. It was moving, moving along, closer and closer, toward them. At last, Carl sank back in the bed. He closed his eyes. He knew what the sound was, but he did not care. He was too exhausted. He was drained, left empty. He would care later, perhaps. Later it would mean a great deal. But now he was too tired to worry or think about it. Trucks were on the road, moving along the highway, trucks and motorcycles, an endless procession hurrying through the early hours of the morning. Men bent over their handlebars, goggles and helmets, men in uniforms bumping up and down. But at this moment, it did not matter. Perhaps in some dim, distant time, he would care and be interested and worry. But now he did not feel concerned. He sank back, farther and farther, into the soft bed. Beside him, the woman stirred a little. Carl returned to sleep.